on BHL, Queen Sugar After Show. We are covering Season 2, Episode 11, Fruit of the Flower. Stay tuned for more. What's up, Queen Sugar After Show fans? We are back. We have a full panel. So happy that everyone is here. My name is Saka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Saka Strong.
Hey guys, so good to be back. It is Miss Candy Marie. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at SweetKindorTV.
And it's Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates and on the gram at Big_Ange.
And what's up, guys? It's your girl Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheUrbanGypsyLA. We are so glad to be back.
Yes. Oh my God, so much to talk about. This was like a really pivotal episode.
Wow. We've been waiting for this episode.
Got some answers. We saw a little bit more of Ralph Angel's childishness. But let's just go ahead and get into it. Let's talk a little bit about Ralph Angel and Darla. I want to get into that and kind of get rid of it because I'm just so over Ralph Angel. What did you guys think about him, you know, start to finish in this episode?
Okay, you know what? Listen, I'm just going to say this. You know, Ralph Angel, you're fine, okay, damn it. And I'm just, I can't, that can't stand in the way of my opinion anymore. I was getting very annoyed with your little fine self today because simply I just feel like he's just so emotional. I agree with you guys from last season. He is so emotional.
But not emotional, but like whiny.
Whiny. Yeah. Oh my God. I just want him to suck it the hell up and just be a damn man.
Right. I think I get frustrated too because when I look at him, I'm like, ooh, look at Kofi. Like, but then when he started acting like Ralph Angel, I'm like, Kofi, get it together. But Ralph Angel is just very emotional. Never like, he can't think about other people. He's very selfish.
He's so selfish. He's demanding. He's childish. He is fine as...
Oh, girl.
But, I mean, he is stunting Darla's growth, and I'm all about Darla. Like, it took a long time for me to be Team Darla, but I trust her now.
Oh, my God.
She is standing in her strength. She is doing what she needs for herself and her family, and Ralph is kind of getting in the way of that.
And you know what I love? The woman that she is becoming.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
It took me a while. It took me a while to... I think I probably went through the same thing that people go through with real drug addicts where like, I just don't trust you until you show me enough.
Right.
And now I'm like, okay, I really love who she is, where she's standing in her own sort of like conviction. Mm-hmm. And she's really convicted to like making them work. And he seems like he's got one foot out, one foot in.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he doesn't understand the concept of work in relationships. Like, even when they went to counseling, it sounds like he just expects it to be like a fairy tale almost. Like, oh, I love you, you love me, we have blue, it's going to work. But it's like, no, there's a lot of work to be done, especially because she's a recovering addict. Like, there's even way more work to be done.
And you can sense her concern because every time they bring up counseling or something that she wants to do, it's like whatever will make you happy. Like, that's only going to last so long. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. Right. Like, what do you want, Ralph Angel? Because I don't even think you know.
But I will say this, because I still have a soft spot for Ralph Angel.
You have a soft spot for Kofi.
Yeah. Just kidding.
You just want to grab that. Okay. his beard. I was going to say that I think that Remy really hit it on the nail. I think that the conversation that Ralph Angel had with Remy, I'm sorry, the conversation that Remy had with Ralph Angel, because Remy really did all the talking, but I was glad to see him listen, and I think that that allowed us to really see why he's hurting so much, because he is hurting, you know, and I think that, especially in our society, and I think we touched on this last week, you know, we always want men to be so strong, and they can't express themselves, and I think that he is a victim of that as well, where he doesn't properly know how to express the things that he's been through in his life.
That's true. with the Remy situation, kind of getting not even scolded. Remy kind of just taught him in class. He was really kind of hurt about that.
Yeah.
And we find out that it's because of his past. But at what point does your past no longer determine your future? I get when you're 18 or 16 or 17, living in that sort of the formative years of this is what's shaping me. But now Ralph Angel's a grown man. He's got to be able to say, I was treated badly in the past, but I don't need to go forward with
that. It's those bags.
But when has he ever said it? Like, it you have to reveal it in order to heal it. And I feel like he's never had that conversation. He acts out. He lashes out in these ways that, you know, Irk says gets on our nerves because we're really rooting for him.
Yeah.
But when has he ever dealt with it? Like, I think this is him actually like learning and opening up those wounds and saying, yeah, it's a lot of pain there, and that's why I'm acting this way.
I think that is the one redeemable thing about him, is he does seem to learn and come around at the very end.
But it's very, very last.
Do we have to walk you through everything every single time for the rest of your
life?
Yeah.
It's the baby syndrome.
Yes.
you have some thoughts on that?
Amen, girl. Because I'm an older sibling too, girl. It's definitely the baby. Why do you have to say, Kelly?
I think the babies catch on faster.
Certainly not in the case of queen sugar. At all. He needs to hopefully step up, because I'm getting tired of Ralph Angel. Let's talk a little bit about Nova and the doctor.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah. We can just really get into it, because it really stemmed from, I guess, Nova learning the truth about her mom, her coming around. Oof. So that was an emotional... Yeah, let's go to that scene. That was an emotional scene with Nova, Charlie, and Lorna.
It was powerful. It was powerful because for all we've known of Lorna, she's always been the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it was actually, for me, it was very relieving to see her express what really happened and to have Nova sit there and really listen. Like, I feel like the one thing that was consistent in this episode was everybody took the time to listen to each other. Yeah. Usually it's so combative, but they were listening, and I think that, you know, she really opened up, you know, especially she was crying, you know, Nova was crying, and she was living a lie her whole life, you know?
And I was surprised she was willing to listen, because Nova normally is not one to listen. She's very closed off, and because she was also caught off guard, I really thought she was just going to storm out. So I'm proud of her for staying and listening, and I still don't really like Lorna, though. Am I the only one?
I don't like
even
Lorna.
Though I
she's
know
won,
this,
she's won me over.
Even though I know
she's
the story,
won me over too.
I honestly
feel like she's a woman that has been hurting and has so much pain for so many years. And honestly, like, I've never heard her bring up any other man except for the love of her life. I feel like that's been the love of her life.
We just met her, Lorna, so I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt 100 just yet. And I think that...
She's about to leave.
She can go. Like, I'm not going to miss her. But I think that Nova is being loved by Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Dubois.
Yeah.
And that puts her in a position to be open and to hear the truth. Yeah. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think she would be.
I agree.
Well, she wants to be loved.
Yeah. Right. And she also sees, I think she sees herself in her mother, in the way that she's behaved, in that whole action of her pushing him away.
That's why she was willing to listen, because she was like, your mother was a free spirit. And she's like, stop
fighting me
too.
Tell me more.
What else do you know?
That's a great point. And I, you know what, I didn't even put that together until you just said that. You're so right. So it's like all that she knew of her mother, now it's changed.
And that's what opened her up. And I think it's not even the love of Dr. Dubois that opened her up. It's the uncertainty she feels in that love. That's why she's so vulnerable now, because she's always, like she said, she always knew when the relationship was going to have a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. And so now she just feels like, where am I? I'm adrift, which makes her a little bit more open to just listening to people.
And it's like, I'm allowed to be loved.
Right. Yeah.
Through all of her relationships, like she says, she could always see the end, but when has she really allowed herself to be loved the way that she deserves to be loved?
Yeah, because she's worthy.
And she was with people that you could see the end. You're married, like, you know.
Like, there was an end, like, but now it's like, man...
And I love that scene when she was saying, like, I'm tired of trying to figure out how it ends. And it's like, well, in real love, that's not how you're supposed to navigate anyway. If you're trying to figure out how it ends, then it's already over.
But if you're hurt enough, then you start to go, well, I figure this is going to end. Let me try to make it end in a good way so I don't get hurt like I've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe she's coming from a place of, like, pain avoidance.
Right.
And now she's just, like, ready to experience and receive love and not look at love as pain, necessarily.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love Lorna, because Lorna's kept this story
under... Lorna?
She's kept love this, her this fact.
Well, think about it.
Too easy.
Think about it.
I like her.
She kept the story under wraps this entire time, knowing she they hated her.
That's which means she did it just for the benefit. Banished her.
But no,
she did.
She could have wrote, wrote a letter.
She could have wrote a letter. Get your ass out of here. Don't you ever come
but
back.
But no, that's true, because she never told Charlie either.
And she did that just to preserve their happiness as a family unit. So, like, she was willing to play the bad guy for all these years to make sure that they were fine. And that, to me, spoke more volumes than, you know, just hearing the actual story.
Man, and you know what else I saw today, too?
Yeah.
It's for the first time I saw Aunt Vi as the bad guy.
That, and we gotta talk about that.
We gotta talk about that.
So is Aunt Vi a racist?
No.
Right? No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Let's define what racism is.
Yeah, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, okay.
So we see that, you know, the white friend comes over. Already, when she walked in the face, I was like, that's my mom's face when I have friends over.
Exactly.
So I
that would have been my face, too.
Why you got this man in my damn house?
Right. Sitting on my couch.
But this white man.
You didn't even call me. Yeah.
And so she brought up the fact that he was white. And then you hear in this conversation between her and Nova that part of her animosity towards Lorna was merely the fact that she was white. She's like, not the fact that she may have stolen Ernest, was because she was white.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make her a racist?
No.
I think it's everything that she's endured along the way from white people.
Yeah.
Like, she has been conditioned to not like white people simply because of how they treated her. And
does that make you
history.
A racist?
No. I don't think,
the reasoning.
I'll say this. And I'm going to reveal just a little bit personal, but growing up, you know, multiracial, my mom's side is all white, and they hated black people. They didn't even like me and my brothers and sisters because we were half black. So they didn't accept us. So that, because of that, I always felt like I had something to prove to white people because of that lack of acceptance. You know, and then also like the black people that I grew up around, you know, I heard stories from them about how badly they were treated by white people. So I think that sometimes, if this is all that you know of something, especially if it's negative, you tend to push back. Or you, mm-hmm. like, okay. And you do that as a way to kind of protect yourself.
Right.
So I feel like that could potentially be part of the case.
I agree with you. And I think that we have to structurally define what racism is. I feel like you have to be in a position to exert power in order to be racist. I think that maybe what she did and how she thinks is prejudice, for sure. But let's not negate the fact that her history and what informs her prejudice against white people. Like, that shit's real, okay? And a lot of time people like to just, you know, that's old. She says she comes from a different generation. So
true.
Her experiences have informed how she is and the way she is. And if she don't want him in her home, that's fine. I don't think she's racist.
Wait. So an old white person still uses the N-word today because they come from a different generation.
Uh-huh.
But they're not racist. They actually like black people. Oh, you know.
You said an old white person.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Systematically, structurally, they are in a position of power.
Wait, but when we're talking about person to person.
Interpersonal racism.
This is Vi's home. Is she not the woman in power? This is her house. She's the one that removes him.
But that's not a systematic thing. That's just her personal
That's a prejudice.
So in that scenario, you're saying no black person or no minority could ever really be racist?
Not in that position that Vi is in, no. You can be prejudiced. You can have things that are unfounded.
That you are judging them based on... You can have judgments based on that, based on their race, but you can't be racist because we have no... Systematically, we don't have the power to do it. Like, if we're going by definition. You know what I'm saying?
I guess you don't agree. Yeah, I was going to say, I would have to disagree. I would just have to say, any time that you can discriminate against another person solely because of their race, and you have the power to stop them from doing something they could otherwise do, then I think that's racist.
If you can control your environment to have the people around you that you want to have around you, and it just so happens that your history with white people, you know, it's justifiably to say this, okay, yeah. I don't think that's racist. That's just
But even me. Just in the dislike for Lorna, I thought, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel that she kind of realized that a little bit, because at the end she kind of did open up a little bit when she was just saying that the hurt goes both ways.
Yeah.
At the end. Because I think that she realized in that moment that maybe some of her prejudice was simply because she was white. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of times, like, Lorna really didn't give her an entire reason to not like her, except for the fact that she loved her brother.
Mm-hmm. And that's she it. And Vi knew that Ernest was and had Vi broken up, that. And then
exactly.
The Trudy had rejected him when he came back. So,
and we saw that, especially when she revealed that to Nova.
Yeah,
she really didn't have a reason to like this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact she loved a brother.
Yeah.
So individually, she came around, and I still don't think that as an individual, Auntie Vi is racist.
I don't think she's racist. At all. I think she don't like white people. But I don't know if that makes you racist. Like, am I being, I don't know. If you have, like, a history with white people where you are being oppressed and you're not able to get a job and you're being
microaggressions
over time, I feel like if you start to feel like, oh, well, I would just prefer them not to be in my house, or I don't necessarily want them to,
I think it starts to border on racism whenever it becomes a them. Whenever you start to say all. That's when it's racism. When you're not saying, oh, well, he works at this company, I know the company culture is bad. So that's different. But if you're gonna say all of one thing, that's when you talk about, for me, that's what racism
well
means.
As a viewer,
yeah,
this man, that this particular white man, yeah, that was in her home, yeah, I don't trust him. So like, why are you all up in Hollywood's business? No, you asked way too many questions. Barbara Walters all up in Hollywood's business. Like, what are you
I mean
doing?
Honestly, if he was white or black, just his demeanor, I wouldn't like have wanted him in my house.
That's,
personally,
yeah, that's
like more
that's
so
different.
His demeanor than his race, I would have
so
felt like,
the way
who
he
is
looks?
This person, yeah, I judgment, prejudice.
But he was a nice guy, though. He was
seemingly
a nice guy.
They
and then
are
you also
the
have
surface.
To trust. You have to trust Hollywood's judgment. This is the man that you love. You know damn well that this man is not going to bring somebody in your house that's going to disrespect you.
Exactly.
So it's like. You know what I'm saying?
That's when you trust the person you're with.
Exactly.
And I think that's where he felt. Because you get that mm-hmm. from Hollywood, where he felt like, you just became my mom, my parent, and we're supposed to be like together, have
we're
mutual respect.
We're supposed to be partners.
Yeah. So, well, I like that one. We got Auntie Vi would have hated Lorna if she was blue. And I do think that's true, too. I think she just hated the fact that
this
Lorna
woman
had broken up, mm-hmm. or she felt she'd interrupted that relationship.
And she just so happened to be a white woman.
No, but she did admit it. Do I have to pick a reason not to like her because she's white or that? So,
and it definitely doesn't help the time frame they were living in. You know, like back then, and what was that, like the 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're in the South.
And
like,
already,
that
yeah.
shit is not...
And already you get the sense that where they are is about 20
Nobody
years behind
it.
Now.
Yeah,
yeah.
So back then.
Let's keep all of these equations in. Let's not negate that when we call Auntie Vi, when we're
racist.
Talking about is she racist or not. Let's keep all of those in,
because
they matter. Context matters.
If she was avoiding some people outside, or she was but once Hollywood brought in someone that she should trust because she should trust him, that's when I was like, I think
but
she,
then
she's...
I think a point that she brought about it being generational is true, because I feel like if you were to even, like, let's say so I had a white friend and I'm in the South and they're inviting me to their grandmother's house, I want them to let the grandmother know that they're bringing their black friend over.
Right.
And whether or not they consider themselves racist or not, I think that because of all the things that have happened, it's just one of those things, like, you kind of need to warn them, because there's so many different layers
right.
to it. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those, like, yeah, you trust Hollywood, but Auntie Vi needed that, like, give me a warning, give me a heads up. Maybe I'm not gonna come home right away. Like, you can have your friend over. I don't want to see him. Like, and I think that's okay.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah. So yeah, we got what is Auntie Vi? Is she uncomfortable around white people or when they're in her house?
It seemed like just when they're in her house.
I think it's when they're in her house, because we've seen her like have conversations with,
and
like, white guy who came to do
it.
the contract with her. She
don't got no problem.
Let me tell you what you sound like now.
There were a lot of Trump supporters I interacted with before Trump was elected, and I found out later
friend.
They were racist.
Right,
so,
that's true.
So it's the same thing where it's like she might interact with white people, but if you
it's not the same, but okay.
But you know what I mean? Where like you tease out the racism, and you may not see it on a day to day basis. So, but yeah, I guess we'll have to revisit that.
It's such an interesting conversation, because these are conversations we're still having today.
Yeah.
You know, especially with everything that's going on. Like,
it almost feels like out of time, but we're still...
Wow, but it's not.
No, like, when you talk about the generational gap, like, we're still doing the same shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
There really isn't one.
And I mean, and even saying, like, it's not racism, it's prejudice, it's like we're saying it as if being prejudiced
is okay.
Like, it's okay to be...
No,
it's wrong
it's
for
not.
Her to be prejudiced. Like, but let's call it that, opposed to necessarily racism. Like, she shouldn't be prejudiced.
No.
Like, she doesn't know him.
But maybe that's been the problem, is that we've gone away from using the word racism and not calling it what it is. Because I think there was a point where people saw racism as, oh, I'm literally lynching black folks. Well, that's not what it is anymore. You know, racism can be different, and it's updated for today's society. And so just because you're not out lynching people or calling them the N-word when you see them doesn't mean you're not racist. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing for Auntie Vi could be true. Because she's not maybe calling white devil and kicking him out the house, like, directly, doesn't mean she may not be racist. But I did see for the first time, like, a character trait that just kind of caught me by surprise because she seemed so wise and so progressive.
So you saw some of her human side, the other side where, like, she doesn't know everything and she's not perfect. Like, she has her hang-ups, too.
Because I feel like the last time we saw her really kind of off base was when she was a little insecure about Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And she kind of got over that. And she'd been pretty even keel till now.
Right. But you know what we do need to talk about?
What girl?
Was when Charlie... was when Charlie stood up to Lorna about the Brown Sugar Festival and how Remy was like...
I mean, Remy was
feeling that.
I love that whole demeanor. And
that was amazing.
And Charlie's like... She's standing up, but not even. She's just being present, I guess. Right?
She was so passionate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And her mother tried her best because her mother is such a businesswoman.
Yeah.
And I see where she gets it from. Like, I see where Charlie gets her strengths from. But it was so nice to see her be passionate about the people.
Yeah.
Because we saw a more humanistic side of Charlie, which is something that we don't always see consistently. So it was nice for her to say, you know what? The people in this community need this festival.
Yeah. And I
was just going to say, I like the Charlie that Charlie is when Lorna is around. I'll give Lorna that. Like, she's bold and she was inventive to come up with this own, her festival for the our own, you know, the black community. Yeah. I like the Charlie that she is.
Because I think Lorna has always supported Charlie, even if she didn't understand where she was coming really from, hard. But she's always supported her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I liked, where it's, and that was, I think, a different you might have between a white person who is supportive of black people and a black person where Lorna didn't really see, like, exactly why you needed to have this part. Like, she kind of gets it, but she's like, come on, look at the books, you know, look at the numbers.
Right.
But to Charlie, it's a deeper thing because it's going to do more for the community.
That's right. They can have good intentions, but they don't always understand.
Right. And you know what was really, really cool, too, was how, and some people may not agree with this, but how Lorna is opening her up to a whole nother, like, mindset in reference to business.
Yeah.
For example, that farmer that has 20,000 acres, you know, do you know what that could do for the mill?
Yeah, and she's like, you have to. You have to go and reach out to the community. Just because they're white, you can't say, no, I don't want to mill with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And he wants to. I mean, you could tell that he's open to the idea of working with them, which is going to be great for business.
It was nice to see, like, some other friendly white faces on the show, because whenever they present them, it seems like, oh, no, there were the Landrys, and it's about to go. I thought he was going to insult her when he came on the show.
Right.
I was like, oh, here we go.
Right, I was like, he got ulterior motives. Can't trust them.
Yeah. But see, look, you feel like you can't trust. I'm just kidding. You're in the South, though. You're like, you're not sure. You're
Yeah, you got to vet them. So.
What do you guys think about Hollywood and Vi? We had some really beautiful moments to their relationship, and then obviously some worrisome moments in terms of the way she's treating him. But I love the beautiful moment. We love that one,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
Which one?
So, when Hollywood says to her, you know, I'm worried about you because, you know, the potentially fibromyalgia or whatever it might be, he said, can't a man just worry about his woman? Can't a man just worry about
like,
his woman?
They are definitely relationship goals. Like, they make me think that, man, I could really get a man. You know, these days, because it just seems like it's impossible.
Right.
Sometimes it feels like people don't believe in love anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in our culture, in the music. And it's like, man, like, I want that. Like, that's relationship goals for me.
I agree.
And it was vibe. What'd she say? I'm going to take you in the room
and prove to you I'm all right. Prove to you I'm all right. No generational issues there. I'll tell you. Well, you know what? We're running out of time, so let's go into our predictions.
You guys start.
Well,
Ms. Candy Marie.
Y'all know I'm nasty. I love in relationships, and I just want everybody just to have fun and be sexual and enjoy themselves. But I really, really want Remy and Charlie to get together. You know, I feel like their relationship is starting to grow, and he's starting to see another side of her that he was actually like second guessing before. So I really want to see that relationship blossom a little more. What else? Lorna. I don't know. It's just I'm very sympathetic for Lorna. I am. And I just, it was really good for me to see them understand her, and I do hope that she comes back a little more into the season.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead. Not a prediction, I guess a hope. I really want to see Lorna embraced by the family, because I think she does have a different way of thinking. I think she is valuable, and I think that she comes with a really good intentions, a good heart. But I think Hollywood's going to end up working for the Landrys. We saw at the end of that, you know, he was not going to in terms of trying to leave. But I think he's going to end up just like, you know, under the table.
Because of the money.
The money, his buddy. You know, so I think he's going to kind of just be like, try to do it on the low, but it's going to get found out, and that might ruin Hollywood and vibe.
Yeah.
Ralph Angel.
Moment of silence.
It's like, I want them to like just do an exorcism on him. I feel like he's got some sort of like childlike demon that just sort of refuses to grow up.
One good thing good about you, Ralph Angel.
But I do see Ralph Angel and Darla hitting some more bumps on the road, and I think at some point they will split. It just seems like it's constant that they're having to like mend an issue and then, you know, be good again.
Grow up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's going to be changing overnight. How about you guys?
Yeah, I definitely know that Darla's going to boss up and leave. She's been doing that. And that's a current prediction, running prediction that I had from last season. I definitely think that it's going to be some more beef with Hollywood and working for the Landrys and that whole thing. And I do definitely think that Lorna is going to play a quintessential part in bridging that or getting over that obstacle with the Bordelons. I think she's going to play an integral part in that for sure.
Right. I kind of agree with that. I think Lorna might stick around and be that piece of the puzzle that kind of like lets them just kind of that hidden piece of the puzzle that they weren't prepared for as far as with the Landrys.
We need allies.
Yeah. And then I think something is going to happen with Hollywood and him working for the Landrys. I don't know if he's actually going to work for them, and I don't think there will be an end to him and Unvibe, because I believe in that union. But I do feel like it might end with Darla and Ralph Angel. And I feel like the family is going to be on Darla's side, because Ralph Angel is just immature.
He goofy.
And we do have some predictions in the chat. Do you guys think Nova's pregnant? It's the second time I've seen someone mention she might be pregnant.
No, I thought Darla might be pregnant, though.
I did think she might be pregnant. She looks like she could be. I don't think Nova's pregnant.
We could use a new child. To
but I do see Nova and her boo getting it in a lot in the future.
I like that.
We're here for it.
Y'all know I'm here all the way.
Someone said, I think Darla will move out of state for a job opportunity once she reunites with her parents. I think her parents are going to come around, too.
I think so, too. And they're going to put another wedge in between that relationship.
They keep bringing it up.
I think there will be some sort of... Well, I think we'll see them. We'll see an interaction with them. But if they didn't come around for the wedding and, like...
Well, the wedding hasn't happened yet.
But she sent them the news and they haven't responded, so I don't know.
Daddy's going to show up, and we're going to see like how she's playing that whole relationship dynamic out again.
And it would be...
And it would be interesting to see a little bit more of her like backstory and upbringing, like, you know, who she came from.
Because they've been revealing little by little every episode about her parents.
We're more interested in who she is now that she's all stable, and we rooting for you, darling.
And I was surprised that she said her mom didn't really stand up for herself, because I'm seeing her, she seems very strong now that she's recovering, so I'm like, okay, that's an interesting dynamic I didn't expect.
Yeah, she's, I think it's a testament to her holding on to that recovery so strong.
Yeah,
because she knows what it means if she doesn't. There's no Blue, no Ralph Angel, so there's Star, and that was not a great place to go. Well, guys, I want to thank you guys for joining us again. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
My name is Miss Candy Marie, and you can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at Sweet Candora TV.
And I am Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates and on the gram at Big_Ange.
And it's your girl, Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheUrbanGypsyLA.
See you next week, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.